Welcome to the Leadership Labs of DeepRec.ai, a podcast where we delve into the fascinating world of deep tech entrepreneurship, company founders, and venture capitalists. I'm your host, Anthony Kelly, and I'm thrilled to have you join us on this exciting journey. In each episode, we explore the minds behind groundbreaking technologies, the visionaries who dare to push the boundaries of innovation, and the investors who fuel the growth of tomorrow's game changers.
I have the pleasure of being at the Campus Founders in Heilbronn today. Meeting with Tristan Post, and Tristan is an AI leader at the AI Founders. He's also a lecturer for AI innovation and entrepreneurship at TUM. Tristan, great to be chatting here with you.
Andrew, thank you so much for being here and coming here. I mean, you were here yesterday and talked to our founders about recruiting. In AI, which is, I think, a topic that a lot of people were interested in, because it's also very important for them now that they go on scaling the company. So very nice having you here and being the guest.
Yeah, it's actually funny. I get that a lot. You know, number one is raising funds, and then number two is how do I hire people with the funds I've just raised, as like the two biggest challenges, and they've come up on this time and time again. But look, talk to me, Tristan. I really want to find out, well, I know, but I want everyone else to find out about the Campus Founders and what's going on down here in Heilbronn. Why don't you sort of give us a bit of an introduction to what's going on?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we are now at the Campus Founders campus. So it's one of the biggest entrepreneurship centers in Germany. We are located in Heilbronn, and I talk about Heilbronn maybe a little bit later, because there's a big vision for artificial intelligence here in the city, which is very exciting. And Campus Founders has a couple of programs, and one of the programs is us, or basically a program that I run, AI Founders, which is the largest startup incubating program for artificial intelligence in Europe. And what we do is basically we take every year two batches, and each batch has 10 startups, where we take startups that are very early or idea stage and help them to get successful. So basically, wherever they are, trying to understand where they are, help them to find maybe the first customers, to work on their product, to really get an MVP, or to find funding. And we have been quite successful, and we're now in our second batch. So this is very interesting to see. We have a lot of interest from the outside. We see it in kind of like the people that apply, and it's a very cool place to be.
Yeah, nice. If we go, look, obviously I want to hear about everything that you're looking to teach founders and entrepreneurs. But before that, like, what's the application criteria? How hard is it?
I mean, so it's actually very basic. So obviously you have to have, we're speaking here about early and idea stage startups. So if you have taken on kind of like more than 100K in equity funding, we can't take you. So we take the startups that are very, very early idea stage, or kind of like very early stage. We want to see a team of two people. So ideally we have someone who is more on the technical side, and then another person who is more on kind of like the business side of things. And then obviously they have to do something that is with AI. So we always say no AI, goodbye, when we look at the applications. And then it comes to how strong are the other startups that you have to compete against. And it's very interesting to see what are kind of startups are applying. It was very interesting to see in this batch now, with kind of like the rise of tools such as ChatGPT, what has been the influence on the startups, how kind of like the startups that have been applying has changed, because basically every third startup seem to now kind of like use now generative AI. So we are the first ones also to pick up the trends in the market. So it's very interesting on the one hand side to work with the startups, but also kind of like to see very early on how the market is moving and how the kind of like AI startup trends are changing.
Nice. Yeah. Good link to real grassroots-led business. So at the campus as well, you also provide accommodation if you're successful.
Yeah, I mean, this is very cool. So I think the program is very unique. First of all, when the startups are accepted, we have here in the heart of Heilbronn this amazing penthouse apartments where we have 29 rooms. So all our founders are actually living together, working together with three amazing rooftop terraces where they can see all over Heilbronn. We give them working space. And then we provide them with world-class mentors, flying people in just like you to talk about certain things. So we have a 12-week really structured program to help them to wherever they are. And then on top, there's the possibility to get kind of like this scholarship or sponsorship where they can receive up to 25K to really get their business started.
Nice.
And yeah, the best part, we don't take any equity. So we are completely non-profit. We really want to help. We really want to kind of like, yeah, bring startups here and also promote Heilbronn as the place for AI.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's something you've aimed for, but right, having 10 companies, groups of founders, upwards to 20 people, right? Having them all on the same floor, in the same building, working together, do you think that sparks and breeds innovation in itself?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great thing. I think we provide them with kind of like this program, but what we see is that over the course of 12 weeks, the founders are getting very close and they exchange a lot. We have also these exchange nights that are organized by the founders where they help each other. And we see quite often that maybe someone is in the progress of wanting to found a company, and there are a lot of kind of like legal issues, and another startup just have been going through there and helps them out, and they help them find maybe customers, they give them a lot of advice. So it becomes really like a close family, and it's very interesting to see also kind of like the earlier batch, the people are still in contact, they're still kind of like working with each other, they're still kind of like hyping and supporting each other. I think this is very, very important because, I mean, if you fund a startup, like normally what we get to see is kind of like the glamorous startups that raised the Series A of couple of millions. But if you start, it's actually a hustle and a grind. And it's often very, very difficult. And we see that kind of like from one day, they're really up because everything is working. And the next day, they're on the ground. So it can be tough. And not being alone in this journey, I think it's very, very helpful.
Nice. Yeah, I do like that. Now, if we talk about the program that you're running, AI Founders, right? If we go from, I guess, like a very big picture, everything works out great, right? What do you want everyone to achieve or to learn in 12 weeks?
Well, So again, what we're trying to do is kind of like every startup is unique. They have their unique challenges. And what we're trying to do is when they come in, we speak to them. We really try to understand where they are. And then we set milestones together and try to help them. And obviously, what we like to see is that once they leave the incubator, they're able to run on their own. They're able to find either customers or investors so they can continue kind of like doing what they're passionate about and really kind of like have businesses that do AI responsibly and become successful and drive. And what I would love to see is, well, if they look back at the time here in Heilbronn, that they either decide to come here to move to Heilbronn, because I think it's an amazing location to do AI with everything that's happening actually around here with the Technical University of Munich and the Innovation Park for Artificial Intelligence, and we can talk about it as well. I think it's very interesting that they come back from time to time and like to talk about it. And maybe so what we have now is kind of like founders from the first batch coming back, trying to support founders from the second batch, sharing their advice, sharing their know-how, so that we kind of like have this close-knit community that we like to see at Campus Founders as well. And what basically Campus Founders is built around, kind of like having this community of really smart, brilliant people, young founders working together, supporting each other, and really helping them all to grow and be successful.
Nice. It's quite funny. You've mentioned like a couple of things, like raising money, getting the first customer. You've mentioned legal, and I see this trend a lot, right? How often is it that you got founders that are like, "Oh, we need help with a product," or is it more the business related challenges that, that people really need assistance with?
I think it's mostly the business related challenges, and I think that's very interesting because a lot of people underestimate what it takes to build an AI startup, and it's quite often not so much about the AI, but because what you want to do is kind of like really want to build a product or a service around AI that adds value to people and that kind of like the people want to use. And most of the challenges in doing this come more from the business side and are not so much technical. What is also interesting now is kind of like we see it when we look at different startups. So we have some startups that are in highly regulated fields. So for example, in the medical field, their challenges are slightly different, still a lot of the business side, but their challenges are mainly about, well, how do I get money? How do I go through regulation? So a lot of kind of like those legal challenges. And this is also what I'm seeing, or a little bit what's going to be my fear with the AI Act, that it's going to be really hard and tough on those startups. And that then all those startups are going to face those same challenges, which are going to be around regulation, which takes a lot of the energy and also costs a lot of money, because you need very specialized expertise to understand regulation and really kind of like set up a startup in order to comply with the regulation. I mean, I used to work once for a startup in a medical field, and I just remember kind of like having to do all those protocols, all this quality management was very tedious. And it's not really kind of like what the founders think of as the first if they're starting their businesses, right?
Yeah, I've spoke to some people who have these medical imaging products as well. Some have managed, been lucky enough to get their CE mark, be there, and are now able to hit the market. I've spoken to some who have been unable to get a CE mark, and you're talking hundreds of hours of trying to write documentation of how people will understand all these x-ray images and how you're segmenting them and what you can definitely segment, what you definitely cannot.
Yeah.
And then what they then see is, oh, you can or can't do this. And then they say, you can't do this. We don't want it. It's a black box, maybe. Go again, start again, right?
And I mean, it's super tricky, right? Because you have to do this before you can go in the field and test those things. And you need a lot of money, and you need to convince the investors to spend a lot of money on you before you even can start using the product. So this creates another layer of challenge for those startups.
I have seen, it's one American company I know of, and what they've done is that they've actually initially started their research and development around animals.
Yeah.
Because it's not regulated, right? They can do it, they can build a product, and then they're trying to R&D on animals.
Yeah.
And then if it works and they can get a medical CE mark, they can switch to humans. Now look, I know it's not as easy as they expect it's gonna be, but it was one way for them to get started and start messing with the models and start playing with an actual product while they were trying to go through all these long regulatory processes.
Yeah, there's actually a funny anecdote from one of our startups in this batch. They're called Incont Alert, and so what they're doing is basically they have these devices you put on the platter, and then they use kind of like sensors and then AI to really measure how full your platter is. So basically, for people who are not able to feel their platter and basically are not able to control it, it gets very dangerous because they can kind of like get blood poisoning and so on. So what they have been done, because they were not able to go to patients, is they tried it out on themselves. So they are now all running around with these platter filling devices, and then the whole team, and then they regularly have to pee like in the cups and kind of like measure how much they peed in to get kind of like get their get their measurements and get their data. And in order to keep everyone in the company incentivized to do it, they created this whole football league. So they programmed an app where you basically put in your numbers, and it shows, okay, like the people that pee the most rank the highest, and then you have these these tournaments and these leagues where you can go up and down.
Did you say league or leaks?
Several leagues. So, that, I thought, so they have like a Champions League. And like
I thought you said leak. No.
I
was like, I thought they put a name on it, right?
No, but this is the nice thing about working with the startups to close up. So you get really to feel the stories behind them, and every startup is unique, and trying and being able to work closely with them is just it brings you a lot of pleasure, and you can learn so much from them as well.
Yeah, no, I mean that's really one good way to get some real product testing, right? And I guess that's obviously another thing that always comes up throughout my time in speaking with new founders and even people who are at that seed stage or even Series A, right? They look back and they say, we should have spent more time on the product. We should have spent more time on our product market fit. So I guess I wanted to come in and talk about you, long-term success around these non-technical topics, right? Everyone that is building a product in here, they know what they're building. They've come in with an idea. They've come in with the skill sets. They've maybe not come in with the leadership capabilities, the sales capabilities. And one that often comes up is, the financial report and the financial planning. People don't study for computer science to think that, oh, I'm gonna spend 20 hours a week trying to understand the financial plan on an Excel spreadsheet and I'm not going to enjoy it. But how do you use, looking at these topics or even setting principles in place to look at long-term success for these non-business topics?
I mean, what we're trying to do is kind of like to give them small inputs on all different fields. So we're inviting like experts just as you, and kind of like to give them kind of like inputs and who have been maybe there. So we're inviting founders who have been there at the start and kind of like tell them, okay, well, looking back at my time, this is how I did it, and maybe looking now where I'm standing, this is how I want to have set up my startup at the beginning, or think about certain things, be it technical or non-technical. And what I think it's very interesting what I say, because back then when I was working with Applied AI, I was still working with Applied AI, I worked with a lot of the big companies like the BMW with size, and what you see is kind of like we always think about building AI products, but we rarely think about actually how can I use AI for the operations of my own company, because this is now what all the big companies are trying to do, the BMW, the Siemens, the Zeiss, all the big ones is trying to figure out, okay, well, how can I set up the entire company so I can streamline operations, I can make things more efficient. And it's so difficult to do if you are this big company, but if you are the small startup, you can think your progresses your processes basically from day one. And we really want to kind of like help them think about, okay, how do you set up your startup? How do you set up your operations from day one to really be successful and be able to scale? And a lot of people don't think about it. They only think about building amazing products. But there is a difference between building an amazing AI product and running a company that is very good at delivering value at scale. And this is what we want to kind of like getting people kind of like in the mindset and being also able to understand what are the people that I need to do this. Because often the founding team that you have, they are very good at building the first product to maybe reach the product market fit, because they have been working on the ground and maybe they have those insights, their customers themselves or so on. But the skills you need to kind of like reach product market fits are totally different to kind of like run a company or scale your startup. And just having this mindset, also being humbled, knowing, okay, there are a lot of things that I'm not able to do, and getting the right people and being able to let go of certain responsibilities as you grow and really grow your team and find the right people, I think it's very important. And I guess you can tell a bit about this, right?
Yeah. I guess it was something that I said, right? And we spoke about it yesterday, is making sure that when you need a hire, you're 100% sure on it. Create a list of what you want this person to do. If those skills are already in the business, you don't need them. Maybe create a list of the things you're currently doing that you don't think you're good at. And maybe that's the list where you should hire, right?
Yeah.
Give you more time to focus on development. Like, I hate to say it, but I mean, I've had some people on the podcast who spoke very much about getting finance people in because they really just weren't good at it. It got founding team of like two computer scientists. They got someone in on finance because they couldn't even make grant applications.
Yeah.
All these little things made, like, tweaked to just small little bits. He was like, oh, great, I'm better at the... It allowed one guy to focus on the pure tech. He focused on the product, so sort of like a product owner, product manager. And then they had a finance person. And then as that team, that was like... I guess the finance person was what was actually missing because it was the guy who's in charge of product now was looking after tech, product, and finance. And the other guy was just tech. So the sweeper roles sometimes are not good. And I always look at it, I say, would you hire someone to do 30% of a job? You'd always say no, right?
Yeah.
But you're always happy to give yourself three different jobs and you'll ultimately never perform 100% at any one of them.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, looking out, and people often think, oh, I want to hire an engineer to work with me because engineering tasks are just too much. But if you're looking after finance, sales, marketing, maybe it's actually you look after someone to do these areas and you stay and delegate that off and you stay at what where your specialism is, right?
Yeah. I mean, we see this. I mean, this is still, we're working with AI startups. So normally the people that come in here, the founders, are much more on the technical side. And then therefore also they need a lot of support on the business side and maybe then getting really a generalist that is able to learn very quickly, but is really a great fit, especially at the beginning. I think it's super important.
Yeah, I do feel in AI, there's a lot less Swiss Army knives available.
Yeah. Right?
There's new domains, you've NLP, neural graph networks, you've got computer vision, you now have generative AIs, right?
Yeah.
How many one person can do all of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's super difficult. I mean, so when I started working here, we were also kind of like thinking, because I don't have kind of like this very deep technical programming background. And we were thinking, well, do you need someone who runs an incubator like this, who is the AI lead with a super deep tech know-how? And the answer was, well, no, because it's so specialized on what they're building, right? So if you have a startup that maybe like to teach that is using NLP for educators to help them to prepare the worksheet for the students based on their needs, their ability and interest, then this is really deep into NLP, and someone who might be very good at computer vision can't really help them, right? So it doesn't really make sense to have the super deep technical know-how, because it's, as you said, so niche and there's so many different branches within AI that it's almost impossible kind of like to help them because they're often on the cutting edge of the things that they're building. So what we're seeing again is more them having more the challenges on the business side. Think about how to scale an AI business, what makes an AI business unique compared to other things, and how I can use this, or how do I have to position myself then for success?
Yeah. It's like a lot of the stuff you mentioned, right? It's the legal, I speak to people and they don't... I actually spoke to a guy 2 days ago and he was like, oh, I'm now a co-founder. It's a guy who I hired like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
He was like, I had to learn how to prospect someone. And prospecting is a very simple process of understanding who might be a target customer. But before that, he had to understand why they might be a target customer before he could even begin to prospect, right? You might say... You might have your product and think, yeah, do you know what? It's going to be great. Dentists want to buy it. But then you're like, how do I find dentists? I want to speak to dentists. Where do I go?
Yeah.
You know, you can't knock into every dentist in Germany.
Yeah, and this is a great example, and this is also what I'm teaching in the course that I'm teaching at the Technical University of Munich. It's one of the main challenges that the people have because they're very technical, is to find this product market fit, to really build something that customers, users want to use. And often we see that people come with their they have great technology and then trying to really find a problem, find a solution or where their tech can be a solution. And it's very difficult to work out this way. And I mean, in the course, it's more about not actually how to build AI, but actually to use AI, to apply AI to build successful businesses. And there again, it's a lot on the business side, those challenges that you have.
Yeah, I've used this example quite a few times, right? You might be a robotics guy. You might really hate folding the laundry. So you build a laundry folding robot.
Yeah.
It costs 500 euros. You think it's the best thing ever because it solves your problem.
Yeah.
Nobody's paying 500 euros to buy a robot that folds laundry. Yeah. Right? You know, your product market
fit, I might.
the market fit is just so small, right? And you've got to think that it's not cool for you. It's not solving a problem for you. You've got to think, who is this actually a problem for? And it's actually almost a better way to look at it. What's the most underserved problems right now, and then try to build solutions around that?
Yeah, and I think, so if we look now at the market and in the market trends, I think it's very interesting. So what ChatGPT and its large language models have done, it has kind of like democratized the use of artificial intelligence. I mean, more people than ever using AI, and now they're getting a feeling about how they can use AI to fit kind of like, or help them with their own problems. And that is what we have been seeing with now the second batch, that we had 1/3 of the startups coming, wanting to apply GPT on a certain problem. And those founders, they don't have those technical backgrounds anymore, but they come with a deep domain expertise and an understanding how to use AI. And I think this is very, very interesting, because my critique for a long time has been, and this is also what I'm trying to do with the course that I teach, is that so far we have been teaching people actually how to build AI. So it's kind of like we teach people how to build an engine, but we never teach the people how to build a car around the engine and how to drive the car from A to B. And the interesting thing is, well, you don't need to be a mechanical engineer in order to drive a car. Everyone can drive a car. And now we're seeing this kind of like this know-how is getting more democratized. And this is what I'm trying to do also with the course, kind of like trying to take a lot of people who are not coming from a technical background and telling them, well, it's actually not so difficult, because you have those experts that are able to build the engines. It's as important not only to build the engine, but also build a car around it. And what you want to do, because you see that right now, like with the large language models, how fast everything is changing. You want to build a car where you can easily swap out the engine for a more performing one and better one. And the skills that you're going to need in the future for doing this, also kind of like for being able to maybe build AI, are completely different. And I think it's going more in the direction of ML ops, DevOps that you see. And I get a lot of kind of like questions now where people are looking for a CTO. So I'm working a lot also with investors, and they're looking for a CTO. And the number one skill they're asking for is actually ML ops.
Yeah, it's quite a trending one. I've seen a company from France specifically focus on CV ops.
Yeah.
I've seen the ML ops community. I know the guy who set it up, a guy called Demetrius. I was like one of his first speakers at his events. So now they're hosting like 3 or 4 events a week. And not only that, I've obviously seen the demand throughout my clients as well, right? It's all about being able to be that programmer, but being able to take research and make research or an algorithm work, and then make it perform, and then make it faster. And then they say, oh, actually, we've got a new part of the algorithm that you can bring in, or this area, we need to tweak it, it performs better. And you're kind of sitting in there at that person who's making machine learning just real, right? And I guess it's been something that, not to say it's been missing, but you know, AI was always seen as something that was very much research heavy. Maybe it's a ChatGPT thing, right? The sentiment is changing the market. People, consumer trust in AI is real. Before it was, right, self-driving cars,
yeah,
that we don't see. Or when you're on Facebook, you get this really interesting recommendation from Zalando about this exact top you were looking for, right?
Yeah. But at the end, I mean, like, you know, the user, like, that doesn't care what the performance is, or what if it's really the best model, as long as it's good for enough for me, right? So I'm not, so there are a lot of people that don't buy a car for the power of the engine it has, but because overall it's a nice car and it fulfills the need that I have, maybe as having a family car or so on. And this is how I feel much more people are gonna choose the product, really want to understand the whole package. And I think what is now coming in much, much more is the whole user experience. And I see that this is something, a trend that is coming up more and a skill that is getting more important, UX, UI, building kind of like tools that people actually want to use and then that are easy to use and maybe even look nice.
Yeah, lots of trending towards as well for non-technical people to get involved with these no-code platforms, right? You drop in a couple of keywords, you say you want to build a website, you can use a no-code platform, and you say, I want to build a recruitment website, here's my logo.
Yeah, I mean, it has never been easier to build a startup, especially around AI, with ChatGPT. I mean, what we have seen now, like if you look at the market numbers, is actually the companies that have, the AI companies that have founded have actually been going down. And also the investments have been going down. But on the other hand side, we have been seeing a rise of the do-it-yourself AI products. And I'm speaking to a lot of people, to a lot of founders that have, or kind of like that, building cool tools on ChatGPT on the side that are product on themselves. And before, you needed a whole team to do it. And now they do it as just a one-man show, yeah, or one-woman show, right?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of say, I think the sentiment of the investment, right, obviously there's been some really big investments lately, I think the sentiment of the investment was fear in the market. We put it in as that, you know, inflation was high, money wasn't being spent, so companies stopped hiring as much as investors stopped investing. And it created this really weird lull in the market, right? There was a lot of liquidity there. I had someone tell me who's an investor that there was more cash in the market in the last 6 months than there was when everything went crazy at COVID, right? March 2020, where there was no hiring for like 3 months, no investment for 3 months. But there was more money in the market over the last 6 months.
Yeah.
It's just not been spent. There's more revenue coming in. And the people that were making redundancies are making redundancies to save costs, even though they're still profitable. So the way that the market was working was quite unique, and it was a bit of an anomaly. But personally, from speaking to the people in my network who are in VCs, they do see that they're also sitting on a lot of money that they have to spend in the next 6 months.
And,
right?
And this is what I say. Like, a lot of people say, well, how can you found a startup now? It's like the economy is in a downturn. They're like, people are not investing anymore. And I say, well, this is the best time ever to build up a startup. You know, the economy is down. So you only can profit when the economy goes up. Like, it's the best time in hard times to build those startups, and especially like these downvaluing rounds have been happening in the later stage, because they have been growing on probably too much cash, on too much hype, and now they have to figure out, okay, how to become more profitable, how to become more lean, how to be less inflated. But on the other hand side, you see the investors having been raising crazy amounts, the biggest rounds they have been ever raising. So there is a lot of money, as you say, in the market. And if you now kind of like want to build a startup, kind of like you don't see, if you're kind of like pre-seed, seed, even Series A, you don't see the kind of like the downturn as much, or you don't see it at all. You have these investments, and there are kind of like some startups who will, because there's so much money in the market, will get crazy rounds. I mean, just yesterday was announced, I think, Mistral AI, a startup from Paris, from France, that raised... They have been existing for 4 months, four weeks, and they have raised over 100 million euros. This is crazy to build, kind of like to be the next competitor for OpenAI. So there's still kind of like the hype in the market. And if you kind of like know how to sell yourself and have a good strategy, investors will come and they will give you a lot of money. And I feel we're still going to see some of those startups being able to raise crazy amount of money and really going through the roof.
Yeah, I think, and again, it's what they say, right? They don't expect like OpenAI to be, not to say like the only winners or the only competition on BARD in the large language model space, right? There's going to be companies out there. I think we spoke about it. Generative AI legal companies, there's 60 of them, I think, in the last 18 months, right?
Yeah.
Two of those are going to win. So that's it. There's going to be these guys in every space. They're going to be in, I don't know, maybe sales playbooks, maybe in insurance, right? There's going to be ways that they're going to be able to implement, maybe, I don't even know, generative AIs. Maybe we'll have generative farmers, right? There's all these spaces. But OpenAI cannot produce and build into all these spaces. But there is going to be winners in all these micro niches. And ultimately, they will be valued very highly. You think the farming industry is a multi-trillion dollar industry?
Yeah.
If you can provide an AI that can give you the power of not even just one person or two people, never mind if you can go give them the power of 10 people, what's that going to be worth?
Yeah. I mean, and this is a great example. I mean, you said kind of like you have those niches, and this is what we see, and I think where the trend is going, that we have more specialized startups really being closer at the customer and understanding the customer. And I think this is going to be the way for success in the future, to really have this understanding for the customer, to really build something they want to use, and not coming from, hey, from this technical side and say, well, I have this crazy computer vision, what I want to use now on teeth, and trying to find the dentist and trying to use it. And it really doesn't make a lot of sense because it doesn't really fit in their work routine, and they don't want to really use it. So I feel, so what we're going to see is much more specialized software with the know-how, really catering to the specific needs of this niche, of this customer.
Yeah. No, I agree. You see a lot of, if people can get the time with these people who are actually facing the problems as early as you can, that's where you want to be, and almost ask them where the problems are.
Yeah.
And then build from there.
Yeah.
Don't assume.
I mean, I would love to see kind of like suddenly what we're seeing now, maybe the architect who has been playing around with ChatGPT and generative AI and having some ideas, and then trying to find a technical co-founder who kind of like can make his or her vision possible, and they building together a product or doing something. And I mean, this is what I'm hoping to see in the future, that more kind of like these domain experts partnering up with the technical experts and really kind of like building cool things together.
Yeah, nice. I do want to just ask you as well, before we run out of time, Tristan, I want to find out more about what is going on here at the Campus Founders. Like, what's the long-term plan, and what's the vision? You mentioned the vision for Heilbronn. So why Heilbronn?
It's Heilbronn has a bigger, so let's start with Heilbronn. So Heilbronn has kind of like this bigger vision to become this thriving hub for artificial intelligence. And I think what is very prominent is the EPI, the Innovation Park for Artificial Intelligence. And they have really a long-term vision for AI in Europe, here in Heilbronn. So they're building basically up, and they already have buildings. We have a lot of events that are happening around AI, a lot of companies. We have a lot of very strong hidden champions here in the regional economy. And there is kind of like this, the Schwarz Foundation behind it, that provides really the vision and also the money to set up things. And what is going to happen here with the EPI is that on 23 acres, they build up a city from scratch, and they already kind of like have, they already have kind of like the money, and they already kind of like have the architects that are building. So they're starting building it now. So it's not a crazy vision. They're doing it now on the ground. So they're building up the city for artificial intelligence, and they're bringing those different players together in the ecosystem. So they brought the Technical University of Munich, which is probably the best university in Europe in the space and for technical topics, also for topics for artificial intelligence. They brought it to Heilbronn. So we have now a Technical University of Munich in Heilbronn. You have the 42 coding school here. So they bring a lot of players together to work on the vision for AI. And we are Campus Founders, are very nicely located just here on the Bildungs campus, at the education campus, being kind of like this entrepreneurship center. And we really want to kind of like make use of it and grow. We actually, like, we're now here in the old building, but we're building a new campus for entrepreneurship that is going to be five times the size as of now, where where there's going to be a home for the people that want to build cool things. We want to help them. So we really want to grow. And because there's the vision of AI, we have been setting up this startup incubator for artificial intelligence, where we work on the ground with the startups. Because when we have a city or this whole city that is tailored towards AI, the startups are playing a crucial role. That's very important because as I told you now, like you pick up trends very early with the startups, and there's so much know-how, there's so much things you can learn. Even if you are a company such as maybe BMW, I tell you, you want to work with those startups because they're just much more faster. They're picking up the trends faster. There's so much you can learn from it. And this is really what we want to provide, kind of like this open space for innovation that's not only tailored towards startups, but where big companies can come in. Also companies from the region, they can work with us. They can work with the startups. They can work with the students that we have from the Technical University, from the Hochschule Heilbronn, really on kind of like these innovative topics and think kind of like AI and innovation and entrepreneurship as a whole ecosystem topic. And therefore, we are here as campus founders as kind of like the main point of contact for everything that goes into direction of entrepreneurship, innovation, but also connecting different players. Because this is also one of the values that we provide and why startups like to work with us, because we have those connections with those big hidden champions that are in the region, and we kind of like really take them while doing the roadshow and really helping them to find a pilot customers and the first customers. And this is a great value we can provide for the startups. So it's a very cool place. It's a very buzzing place. You can see everywhere kind of like events happening. You can see crazy things getting built everywhere. It's kind of like constructions, and they're building at a speed I have never seen. So if I'm, for example, in Munich, it takes ages to just get the road fixed. And here they build whole kind of like campuses, kind of like four floors houses in what feels like a year or two. I mean, the EPI already exists. They have like just now a small place where they're locating, because it's now kind of like still very at the beginning. But they're building next to is a house, and every time you see there, you can see kind of like how the next floor is done and the next floor is done. It takes like 2 or 3 weeks, so it's crazy. The determination you can see here in Heilbronn.
Nice. I've no doubt that, you know, all these sort of things coming together,
yeah,
will create innovation in the city.
Yeah, and I tell you, so I mean, it makes a lot of sense. So when I started here, like AI in Heilbronn was nothing that I had on my mind. But I tell you, in the future, if you want to do artificial intelligence in Europe, there's no way around Heilbronn.
Nice. Are you ready to close off with some quick fire questions?
Yes, sure. Let's see how I can handle them.
Sure. You've been in Heilbronn about 10 months now.
Yeah, a bit longer, I think. Yeah, roughly 10 months, don't forget this.
What have you learned? What have you learned in those 10 months?
I think a lot. I learned so much about what it really means to be an entrepreneur and help others, and how important it is to support each other, because the journey can be very, very challenging, and there are the ups and downs, and therefore you need a good ecosystem. And I learned how important it is to support each other and help each other out, and to be kind, because we're all at the end of the day in the same boat, right? And we're trying to achieve the same thing, and we can can learn so much from each other.
Nice. Is there a piece of content that you recommend for listeners? It can be a podcast, book, a movie.
So you can follow me on LinkedIn. I mean, I'm putting out a lot of content. Also, I mean, with the campus founders and AI founders accounts, we kind of like always share kind of like the insights from the sessions. So you coming in, and we share kind of like the top highlights. So this is probably very interesting, especially for people who want to found their startup, to check out the content that we are doing. I mean, I'm a big fan of Lex Friedman's podcast. I think he's a brilliant guy, and the things that he is doing. So these are some of the recommendations I can share.
Nice. I'm gonna close it up with what might be arguably the most difficult question. What are your three non-negotiables when it comes to setting yourself up for success?
I think taking the time to care for yourself is something that is very important and that I realized, because it's a lot of hustling, and if you don't make the time for yourself, then you don't go just long. Then I think very important, I mean, I receive so much help, so I always want to give back, just supporting each other. And I think the third thing, I mean, in a world where you can be everything, the most important thing is to just be kind.
lovely. Tristan, that does us for time. I really, really appreciate it. It was great to have you.
I joined the conversation. Thank you so much for coming here to Heilbronn, and I hope you will come back, and
pleasure. I look forward to come back and seeing the five floors.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll be back before then.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
That concludes another enlightening episode of the Leadership Labs podcast. If you found today's episode thought-provoking and informative, be sure to subscribe to the Leadership Labs on your preferred podcast platform or on YouTube. Thank you once again for joining us on this journey through Leadership Labs. Until next time.